Our text for this eighth Sunday after Pentecost comes from the prophet Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel lesson for today is the feeding of the 5,000. This is a well-known text and one that I've preached on many times. However, today I'm going to take a different approach to it. You see, I don't think that our texts today are really about the miraculous feeding. Oh, the event is major in the eyes of the people, but it's really about something else entirely. First off, let me say that yes, it was a miracle. 5,000 people, the text says specifically. We don't know if that included women and children, and if it did, the numbers would have been double, triple that. And to feed them with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, yeah, that was a miracle, but that was just a secondary issue. Now, Jeremiah, speaking for God, blasts the Israelites for destroying and scattering the sheep of his pasture. The shepherds, or specifically the priests, were entrusted with teaching the people the way of the Lord. But instead, they got sloppy, and they allowed all kinds of heresies to creep in until, well, the chosen people were not acting very chosen. Now, God responds by telling the people that he will bring them back and place shepherds over them who would tend to them correctly. Now, I want to take a moment and address this. God, through the prophet Jeremiah, clearly states that the people of Israel have drifted away from their calling. They have followed false teachings, and even their priests or shepherds have failed in their duties of proclaiming the word. Now, last Sunday, I talked about prophet Amos, and God was telling him pretty much this, actually the last 3 Sundays, Old Testament readings from Ezekiel, from Amos, and now Jeremiah, it's the same thing. The people have gone astray, but God used the example of a plumb line. You know, builders use it to keep everything straight, but the people, the church, Israel, had drifted away from God's plumb line. But again, God states that the people, his people, had fallen away from the plumb line and followed false teachings. And for this, God would destroy the house of Israel and send his people into exile as punishment. So the warning here is clear. Stay true to the word. Don't be complacent and start following false teachings. For when that happens, God sends his prophets to warn the people, and if they still don't heed his word, well, he takes further measures. I believe that these warnings are as relevant to us today as they were back in the Old Testament. Do you see churches today following false teachings? Absolutely. Major Christian denominations that only a half a century ago would have fallen fairly close to the plumb line are now drifting off into all kinds of dangerous things. Some churches not only are accepting such abominations as abortion and alternative lifestyles, they're actually embracing them, marching with them. Political correctness is quickly taking over the doctrines in some churches. What used to be taught as gospel is now being turned into something that our grandparents probably would have never, ever dreamed of. Folks, it is going on out there, and it's scary. To reiterate the words of Jeremiah, woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend to my sheep. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done. Okay, I've been kind of pounding the pulpit here with some doom and gloom and harshness here, but folks, we got to wake up to what's going on. Yeah, I'm a Facebook junkie. I see all the postings and things and whatever, and I tell you what, it is scary to what we see happening. But even the warning is clear. He goes on to say, I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from the countries where I have driven them. I will bring them back to my pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. So even in what might seem our darkest times, God has promised to bring his church back to a right understanding of the word and will place capable pastors over them. I got to put you on the spot because he's talking about you. This is the promise that we must hold on to. Now in Ephesians, Paul says that the Gentiles, were now brought into the family. The wall that separated them from the Jews would be destroyed, and they're going to become one. In fact, this was the promise that was given throughout the Old Testament, only the Jews didn't quite pick up on that. They wanted to keep the Gentiles out, but that wasn't in God's plan. The Jews were simply to carry the message forward until it would be fulfilled with Jesus. Then all men would be brought together. Paul closes by saying, and in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So this brings us to our gospel text, where Jesus feeds the 5,000. I'm sorry, every time I talk about the feeding of the 5,000, my stomach knows what's going to be going on out there in about a half an hour. And I remember how you people like to cook, so you will not disappoint, I'm sure. So this brings us to the gospel text. The text begins with Jesus and his disciples leaving on a boat to get away for a while and rest. The only problem was that the people saw them leave and they followed them around the shore. And here is where we see all of our texts come together. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Do you see the Old Testament coming right into this? And this is the key. Of course, the disciples weren't getting it. All they saw was a crowd and worried about how they would be fed. You know, ladies, I always pick on the disciples. They're men. And they just never get it, right? You're with me on that? Okay, all right. Got it. These disciples, they just never get it. But seeing the bigger picture at hand, Jesus simply says, you give them something to eat. What we need to take away from all of this is that God does have a bigger plan. The disciples could only see the immediate need. And that's not to put them down. We're the same way. We see a problem, and we try to come up with a solution. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what we call good management in the business world. But if we only look at the problem in front of us, we risk losing sight of the bigger picture. And that is what I feel that our texts are pointing us to today. So, what is our ultimate mission here? Our ultimate mission here, you folks, here at Zion, is to seek out and save the lost. We are to bring them in, and we are to teach them the gospel. We are to build our family and take care of each other. Jesus' mission was to bring all mankind back together, the way it was in the garden prior to the fall. He died on the cross to pay for all of our sins and allow us to work together as one family to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. The warning in Jeremiah, though, is clear. Don't fall victim to false teachers who will lead the sheep away by lofty-sounding words. Stay focused on the mission. The Lord will provide for the needs of the mission, and you must trust that. Don't get sidetracked by the worldly concerns and lose your focus. My friends, I love saying that to you. You're my family. My friends, God has brought each one of us here to this place at this time for a specific reason. Each one of you brings a unique set of skills that are critical for the operation. We won't always see or understand the end state of that mission, but we must trust that God is using us in just the right way. When one of us is not here, we struggle to hold the line. That's why it's imperative that each one of us reach out to the person next to us to keep that chain unbroken. By ourselves, we will fail, but together with our arms locked, God will use us to move mountains. And that's what I want all of you to focus on as we move forward. The miracle of the 5,000 was nice, but it wasn't the bigger picture. We must look ahead as one unit in harmony and in sync with our goals. No gift is too small that it's insignificant. I can't tell you how much a smile or a phone call can lift somebody's day. A text just to see how you're doing is sometimes all that's needed. We're a family, we're a team, and we need to see each other as such. Now, as a family, we must continually strive to stay focused on the Word of God. I have a reputation at my church because we do sign language ministry. And I have an interpreter. I like to go down rabbit trails. So when I see her do this, she's telling our deaf people, there goes Pastor again. He's going down a rabbit trail. But I want to stop here for a minute, and I've got to hit this. We have got to stay grounded in the Bible, in our doctrine. We have got to grow and stay aware of what's going on, because I'm telling you, folks, there's crazy stuff going out there in the churches today. And we have to stay on track here. We see the effects of the devil's mission or ministry going on. Devil's ministry, right. The devil's work is trying to destroy the foundation of our society. And I don't know if it's worse today than it was 100 years ago, but I, for one, do not like to see what's going on. It saddens me to no end when friends and family are following paths of false teachings and heresies. A day doesn't go by when I don't read about more abominations taking place in our churches around our country. In a way, I can kind of understand God's frustration back in the Old Testament when he sent prophets to warn the people of Israel to turn back from their wicked ways and return to the right teachings. But in all of this wickedness, we also hear God's message of compassion. I've used that word twice now, and that's a key word. He always concluded his warnings with a promise of hope, a promise to bring his people back to the right worship and understanding of the gospel. And this is my final point. That message is clear today as it was back then. For even though we continue to run off and chase after false teachings, God still seeks us out like the good shepherd who went after that one sheep. Even though we rebel and try to do things our own way, Jesus looks at us with the same compassion that he showed to the 5,000 who were without anything to eat. The world around us may look bleak, but we know and trust that God our Father has promised to provide us and will never leave us nor forsake us. We might not be the smartest sheep in the pen, and having looked at some of the sheep around here that you've raised, that's probably... Anyway, I won't go down that road. I've seen those sheep. We might not be the smartest sheep in the pen, but our Father is always going to find us, and with compassion, He knows, His compassion knows no bounds. So that's where I'm going to leave it this week. One team, one fight, one gospel, one Lord. God has brought us all together through Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. We're all members of the heavenly family, and we just gained two more today. I'm so excited. Thank you for allowing me the honor of that. Even though the world around us seems to be falling after all crazy ideas and heresies, we can always trust that our Heavenly Father is keeping a close watch on us and will continue to guide us and lead us to safe pastures until He finally brings us home to be with Him in heaven. So I'll close this week's sermon with the same words that I've been closing with my last few weeks' sermons. Stop doubting and believe. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.